David Knight.
It's Friday, October the 20th, 2017. The Gold Star controversy really heated up yesterday with a very detailed, very passionate speech by General Kelly, who's now the White House Chief of Staff. He is a Gold Star father, and he said, as others have, that what President Trump did was not meant as disrespect, that the people who volunteer for this are heroes because they volunteer, because they do something knowingly. But we're going to break down what's really behind that, and he made some interesting statements about the congresswoman that I think show how this was contrived as a political controversy by the Democrats. We're also going to have a list of some of the crazy stuff that is coming out from far left field all over the country. And it's not just the blue states. It's in conservative places like North Carolina that had a incredibly close race for governor that was won by the Democrat governor there. Now the things that he's ushering through are pretty amazing, far to the left even of California. So we're going to talk about that, as well as we've got a guest who is coming on the show today, Gabe Hoffman. He is the producer of a film that has been largely ignored. It's called Open Secret. The director, Amy Berg, had won an Oscar for the expose of pedophilia within the Catholic Church. She did that in 2006. 8 years later, in 2014, she couldn't get Hollywood to distribute a film that was exposing pedophilia about Hollywood. What a surprise. Well, that was 3 years ago. He's here today to get more attention to that film, because that is a big issue that really hasn't been touched upon in Hollywood. They're kind of holding Harvey Weinstein out as the sin eater, or as the scapegoat, and they're putting all the sins of Hollywood on this one guy, and they're going to drive him off the cliff. But then they're all going to wash their hands of this issue and go back to business as usual. Maybe not. And then one of the big things we're going to talk about, too, is the speech where we had George W. Bush come out of the globalist closet. You will not believe some of the things that he said yesterday in New York. But, of course, we've known where he was all the time. We've known that he is the phony opposition. And we're going to expose some of the things about John McCain as well, who is another part of the phony opposition. And as we look at what's happening, as we look at some of the articles coming up of Bernie Sanders saying, yeah, we're going to bring your taxes up. We're going to give you more free stuff. I think it's interesting to go back and look at how the FDR's New Deal has turned into the bad deal of socialism. Since 1941, real per capita federal spending, and that's adjusted for inflation, real capita per capita federal spending has increased more than seven times. Now, the Democrats think that they're going to win by focusing on economic issues and by criticizing the tax reform, saying that's going to increase the deficit. Well, it's the spending. It's the free stuff from people like Bernie Sanders, who think that they can come in and promise you everything in the world for free. But of course, they're going to take your money. They're going to dole it back to you like you're a child on an allowance. If they even give it back to you, they may give it back to your neighbor. And of course, that's what the voters of Bernie Sanders are counting on. They're counting on him stealing money from somebody else, not them, stealing money from somebody else and giving it back to them. One of the things that's coming out with the Trump administration, one of the best people that he's got, and this is why we have the axiom that personnel is policy. We've seen some great stuff come out of the EPA because we've got a great guy at the EPA, Scott Pruitt. And he's now saying that it is deceitful for the EPA to sue and then settle, to basically blackmail people. So he's stopping that practice. Meanwhile, we got the IRS, where we still have the same Obama IRS commissioner, the same people who are using the IRS as a political arm of the Obama administration, the Democrat Party, saying, you know what, all that stuff that President Trump said about not prosecuting people for not getting into Obamacare, forget that. We're not even going to take your tax return if you don't talk about your Obamacare. That's what happens when you leave those people in place. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
Found it. It's the real news. from the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
It's Friday, October the 20th, 2017. I am David Knight. I'm going to be taking a look at George W. Bush coming out of the globalist closet, attacking the values of America First, and saying we need to submit. You know, our country, he says, is not defined by borders. Hey, how many times have we heard that? He talks about those people who are conspiracy theorists. Yeah, we don't want anybody asking any questions about 9/11, do we? You know, I mean, you go back and you look at the situation with Las Vegas, and tweeted out the interview that I had yesterday with Lionel, the former prosecutor, talking about, can't we just ask questions about the investigation? You know, we don't have to come in and say, well, I know that it was done by X or Y. And that's not the way that you do an investigation. That's actually the way that they're doing the investigation. That's the problem we have with it. See, a real investigation begins by asking questions and then ruling out things that are impossible. But what we see with Las Vegas, what we saw with 9/11 and so many of these other things, is that they start with an answer. They already have it solved, immediately solved. They know exactly what happened, and they already have the conclusion, and then what they do is they rule out any questioning of that. See, they got that exactly opposite. But they're not going to rule out questions, and we're going to talk a little bit about the efforts that people are trying to put to stop evidence from being destroyed. Yes, that's right. We're at that stage of the investigation in Las Vegas where you have to try to protect them, try to protect the evidence from being destroyed by the investigators. I mean, they came up with a Pat story, and now they're even doing minute examination of the quote-unquote lone shooter's brain to try to come up with motives. I mean, you don't have a motive to, you don't have to have a motive. You don't have to have ability to do any of this stuff. You just declare that this guy that you found dead in the room is the shooter, and you just move on from there. And if anybody asks any questions, they're conspiracy theorists. And so we got George W. Bush talking about that, exposing the phony left-right paradigm, doing it on the same day that Obama is doing it. Huh. We've seen him get together with Bill Clinton in the past, and they say that he's his brother from another mother. Yeah, well, they're all part of the CIA family, folks. All part of the CIA family. He had Obama, his parents, his grandparents that raised him, his mother, they were all part of the founding families of the CIA. And, of course, the same thing is true of the Bushes. And Bill Clinton, regardless of what his parentage was, and there's people who believe that that was also involved with him. But regardless of his parentage, certainly he had a lot of connections with the CIA in Mena, Arkansas. You won't find that information in the movie American Made, but you'll find it in reality if you do your own investigation. They papered over all of that. We're also going to talk about the Gold Star controversy. That's what we're going to cover first after we cover a couple of more headlines. Very interesting back and forth yesterday with General Kelly shutting down this attention-seeking congresswoman. Very shameful what she did, and he really lays it out for people what is involved here and how this whole process came about. He was actually involved in all of that. And today we have a couple of very interesting guests. Larry Pinkney is going to be joining us. And, of course, he has been involved in the back and forth between black and white. He realized, first he got into the early Black Panthers, and he realized that the early Black Panthers became very dangerous to the government once they stopped being simply about being black, once they reached out to the community in general. I think that's the key thing to understand about the entire Black Lives Matter movement, that it is something that is being used for division, and they're perfectly fine to promote that. But what they don't want to have happen is for anybody to work together across racial lines. So Larry Pinkney is going to be joining us, and we're going to be joined by the producer of a film that exposed pedophilia in Hollywood, and he couldn't get distribution. It was the same director that he was using for that film that 8 years earlier had gotten an Oscar from Hollywood and all kinds of applause for exposing pedophilia in the Catholic Church. But when you try to do that and expose pedophilia in Hollywood, no, no, no. They will try their best to keep your film from being seen. So he's going to join us as well. A couple of quick headlines here that I think are very interesting. As I was saying in the last segment, we have the Trump administration scrapping the EPA's deceitful sue and settle trick. In other words, they're going to bring a lawsuit against you. They're going to ramp up the financial fees because, you know, we don't have, as I've mentioned before, when you have the Congress abdicate its authority for passing laws to the bureaucracy, then the bureaucracy creates 80,000 pages of regulations every year. And then the government, the judicial system says, well, we don't have any authority here. Those are regulations. They're not crimes. And because they're not crimes, you don't get the protections in the that are enshrined in the Bill of Rights. So you don't get the presumption of innocence. You don't have to be found guilty before we punish you and take your money. And all of those sorts of things. So that's how we get civil asset forfeiture and so forth. And so the EPA has been a big part of that game. Scott Pruitt, a great pick by President Trump. Perhaps the best pick, the best decision that President Trump has made is Scott Pruitt. He says, we will no longer go behind closed doors and use consent decrees and settlement agreements to resolve lawsuits filed against the agency by special interest groups where doing so would circumvent the regulatory process set forth by Congress. What is sue and settle? In short, it's a way that politicians and bureaucrats shift policy by pretending to be in a legal fight with a political ally and then altering a specific rule to supposedly avoid a lawsuit. This has been exposed by FreedomWorks and others, reported by WND. But on the other hand, now that's a great pick that President Trump has put in, Scott Pruitt. But when we look at the IRS, just the opposite. The Justice Department under Jeff Sessions has chosen not to pursue the IRS agents who politicized the agency when they went after Tea Party groups and when they destroyed evidence. You know, obstruction of justice, destruction of evidence, that is a crime that in most cases is more serious than what was being investigated. But no, we're not going to go after Lois Lerner, and we're not going to go after Koskinen, who is the still, that was Obama's head of the IRS. He is still there. He hasn't been replaced. And that's what we're saying. You're going to leave these Obama holdovers in place, and you're going to get Obama policy. And it's very visible here at the IRS. Remember one of the first things that President Trump did, he sent an executive order in and said, I don't want the IRS to punish people if they don't get Obamacare. So that was a request from President Trump, which the imperial bureaucracy says, no, we don't care. We're actually going to double it down. We are not going to even accept tax returns that don't have Obamacare disclosures in them because Obama's IRS head is going to push Obama's legacy of socialism on us. The IRS says it will not accept electronic tax returns that do not disclose whether the filer had health insurance coverage during the year. It also says it will suspend paper returns that do not have the disclosure. The IRS's move will bolster compliance with the Affordable Care Act, even as the Trump administration is trying to undercut the law. So you have to understand the imperial bureaucracy that we have here. And if you don't get rid of the imperial bureaucracy, and if you don't get rid of these Obamacare, these Obama holdovers, like the current IRS chief, then they will subvert everything that President Trump does. Typically, it's stopped by a federal judge who is an Obama appointee, as we've seen over and over again with the immigration rules that he has. Nobody ever questioned Obama's open border rules that were done illegally, but when that is overturned by President Trump, then that's got to be shut down, and they do it over and over again. But it's also the people that he leaves in place in charge of the IRS. Here's something else that was left in place. That's the war in Afghanistan. What does it mean to win? Well, I'll tell you what it means to lose. It means that you got an Afghan army base that is totally destroyed by Taliban suicide bombers. They weaponized U.S. Army Humvees, which is going to make it more difficult for the U.S. to work with these guys because that was the very weapon that was used against them. Killed everyone at the base, razed it to the ground. Is that what winning looks like? What is the objective anyway? This is just one battle, but what is the objective? Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're going to talk about the back and forth yesterday between former General Kelly, who is now the Chief of Staff at the White House, talking about the process, this controversy that has arisen out of the individual who was killed in Niger, the soldier, and the widow who called a congresswoman to come listen in on the phone conversation, and then the congresswoman politicizes it, surprisingly. It's a very interesting back and forth, and we're going to tell you what the congresswoman, his name is Frederica S. Wilson, will tell you what she had to say about General Kelly and let you make up your mind as to who you think is more credible, General Kelly, who I have profound political differences with, but he's a very honorable man, and he has served this country, and he has a great deal of credibility on this issue, especially because it was his son who died in service. And, of course, he's been a lifetime military. I think he was in the Marines as a general. But before we do that, I want to tell you about some of the products that support this program, that support our operation at InfoWarsStore.com. We have Supermail Vitality has now been reduced by 30%. 30% off Supermail Vitality, 50% off Anthroplex, and we have 50% off Brain Force Plus. This is going to be stopped at the end of the week before we run out of stock, because we have to hold stuff behind, and these are some of our most popular products. We have to hold stuff behind for people who sign up for AutoShip. And, of course, if you sign up for AutoShip, you can get 10% off and free shipping if your order totals more than $50. So that's something you may want to think about. Also, we have several very important supplements. Our iodine, our selenium, and our B12 supplements are all 40% off. Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, 40% off. BioTrue Selenium, 100% organic selenium, no fillers, no synthetics, 40% off. And Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula that you can take orally instead of taking your B12 with an injection, that is also 40% off. And finally, we have 20% off InfoWars Wake Up America coffee. Just enter the code Wake Up at checkout to get 20% off InfoWars Wake Up America in either the original Patriot blend or the immune support blend. All right, let's go back to this press conference. We had General Kelly yesterday really lay out this entire process. He spoke very passionately for about 18 minutes, so we're not going to play all of that for you. But I can tell you that what he did was he began by talking about the process that happens after a soldier is killed in a location, the preparing of the body, the transporting of the body, and then informing the family, or as he put it, breaking their hearts.
So to take the phone call. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
So a pre-call is made, President of the United States or the Commandant of the Marine Corps or someone would like to call. Will you accept the call? And typically they all accept the call. So he called four people the other day and expressed his condolences in the best way that he could. And he said to me, what do I say? I said to him, sir, there's nothing you can do to lighten the burden on these families. But let me tell you what I tell them. And let me tell you what my best friend, Joe Dunford, told me, because he was my casualty officer. He said, Kel, he was doing exactly what he wanted to do when he was killed. He knew what he was getting into by joining that 1%. He knew what the possibilities were because we're at war. And when he died, in the four cases we're talking about, Niger, my son's case in Afghanistan, when he died, he was surrounded by the best men on this earth, his friends. That's what the president tried to say to to four families the other day. I was stunned when I came to work yesterday morning and brokenhearted at what I saw a member of Congress doing. A member of Congress who listened in on a phone call from the President of the United States to a young wife. And in his way, tried to express that opinion. He's a brave man, a fallen hero. He knew what he was getting himself into because he enlisted. There's no reason to enlist. He enlisted. And he was where he wanted to be exactly where he wanted to be with exactly the people he wanted to be with when his life was taken. That was the message. That was the message that was transmitted. It stuns me that a member of Congress would have listened in on that conversation. Absolutely stuns me. And I thought, at least that was sacred. I just thought that that might be sacred. And when I listened to this woman and what she was saying and what she was doing on TV, the only thing I could do to collect my thoughts was to go and walk among the finest men and women on this earth. And you can always find them because they're in Arlington National Cemetery. I went over there for an hour and a half, walked among the stones, some of whom I put there because they were doing what I told them to do when they were killed.
All right, that was General Kelly. It was a very powerful 18 minutes. You've only heard a little bit of that right there. But I want to play for you Congresswoman Frederica S. Wilson. And I want to ask you who you think is more credible. Here's Frederica S. Wilson.
I have to tell my kids that I'm a rock star now.
Yeah, okay, she's a rock star now. And her response to General Kelly, former General Kelly's criticism of her, was to come back and say, General Kelly will say anything to keep his job. Do you think she'd say anything to keep her job? Do you think she would say anything to get attention? Do you think she would wear anything to get attention? The hats, the costumes that she wears. Every time you look at her, she's got some absurd hat on, some absurd cowboy hat on. Will she do anything to draw attention to herself? One of the things that General Kelly said as he was talking about that, he was talking about the dedication of an FBI building. It was dedicated to two FBI officers who had died in the line of duty. And there were three others who had been wounded in that incident that were there in attendance. He said Comey dedicated it. It was a very moving ceremony that was dedicated to people who gave their lives trying to protect other people. And he said there was a congresswoman who got up and said, well, I'm the one who made this building possible. I made the call. I got the money. I. How many times have we heard that from Obama? Remember all the speeches that Obama had? I, where they count up the number of times that he talks about himself. That congresswoman, at the dedication of that FBI building, instead of honoring the people that were being honored at that dedication where they named the building after them, instead, she makes it all about herself and the money that she got. Of course, that wasn't her money. That was taxpayer money. Or money that will be paid back by taxpayers who have borrowed it. Nevertheless, it was all about her and her phone call, because that's the way these people operate. Who do you think is more credible? General Kelly, President Trump, or Frederica S. Wilson and her cowboy hat looking for attention? Who will say anything to keep her job in Congress, to get her little 15 minutes of fame? Absolutely despicable individual, and Congress is full of people like that. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
Live from Austin, Texas, it's David Knight.
There's no perfect way to make that phone call. That's what General Kelly told President Trump. As they were talking about it, President Trump said, well, you know, as he lays out in the discussion of this, he said, we talked about this, and President Trump asked him if he should make the phone call. And he said, well, all presidents send letters, but not all presidents send phone calls. As a matter of fact, if it's a lot of heavy action and there's a lot of casualties, it's not possible for the president to make those phone calls. And he said, he told him there's no perfect way to make that phone call. And he says, if you've never worn the uniform, if you've never been in combat, you can't even imagine how to make that call. But he said, I think he very bravely did make the calls. And he talked about how they discussed it and what he should say and so forth. And General Kelly said, you know, the things that are important to the families are the phone calls that they get from the people who knew the soldier, who worked with the soldier in the field, the people who really knew him. He said, the calls that they get from generals, the calls that they get from presidents, that doesn't really make that much difference to him, but he wanted to do it anyway. President Trump wanted to do it anyway. And when they have, as I mentioned before, they have somebody who shows up before dawn and they wait until the first lights come on in the house, and then they go in. And they stay with them through the whole process until the soldier is buried. That's the officer that stays with them. And if there is a general or a president who wants to make a phone call and reach out and touch them individually, they didn't just call them. They ask the family if they would like to take that call. He says usually they say yes. Now, I think the interesting thing that is coming out is the fact that not only did this family say yes, but this family called the congressman. The congresswoman then was there. Not just family members, but the congresswoman came there. So this was politicized from the very beginning. Politicized by the family. They call a congresswoman who is adamantly opposed to President Trump. Come listen to this phone call. Let's see if we can get something out of it. And of course, what the president said was what General Kelly said others had told him when his son died. They chose to do this. I said this yesterday. I said, that's why they call them heroes. Because if you choose to do something knowing that you're going to, it may cost you your life. If you're a fireman who is running into a burning building and you lose your life because you're trying to save other people, that's a heroic act. You know, when we look at the Vegas shooting again, the very first revision of the Las Vegas script that was put out there by the Las Vegas Police Department, the first write of the script said that we had Jesus Campos come in at the very end and stop the shooting and got shot himself. Then they changed it and put him at the very beginning. They did a rewrite. And so revision two of the script says that he comes in and he doesn't know what's going on, as he told Ellen on their scripted performance. He said, I didn't know what was going on, and he just got shot. I mean, that's not a heroic act. They're still calling him a hero, but he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. He didn't sign up for anything. As a matter of fact, we don't even know how he came to be an employee of a contractor who works for MGM. We don't even know anything about that contractor. There's some very curious things about that contractor. The license that they let expire. Yeah, the virtual address that they have there. So we don't know anything about the man. We don't know anything about the company, about the relationship with MGM. And then in the final revision that they go with, he just shows up. That's not an act of heroism. That's just, he's a victim. If he gets shot, he's a victim. He didn't show up to shut anything down. He didn't go into the raging guns at the after, you know, this guy had been, whoever was in there shooting people. He didn't run up there to stop it and get shot in the process. But that's typically what does happen with the military individuals. And so that was what was the background for that. And I think that's very important to look at it. And clearly, we understand what Frederica Wilson is in it for. Let's play that clip again. She'll explain it to us. Can you pull up that clip of
tell my kids that I'm a rock star now.
She's a rock star now. She's a rock star now. And after General Kelly gave that very long, touching story about what happens to families like his when they have somebody die as a soldier, gave a very detailed account of that. She just dismissed it and said, he'll say anything to keep his job. I think she'll say anything. I think she'll say anything. Here's somebody else who'll say anything. George W. Bush. And he was saying a lot yesterday. Shrub. Chip off the old CIA block, and also Obama, also a chip off the old CIA block. You know, let me just digress here a moment and say the overthrow of ISIS in their capital of Raqqa, you know, their headquarters, their caliphate headquarters. Yes, I know it's not mission accomplished. We're not going to go that far, but there have been some major setbacks with ISIS. And those came just a few months after President Trump stopped the arms shipping of CIA to the quote-unquote moderate rebels in Syria, isn't it? Interesting how the CIA, as soon as you stop the CIA from injecting arms into ISIS, that somehow they start losing on the battlefield. Interesting, isn't it? But let's go back to these other CIA operatives, George Bush and Barack Obama, because Barack Obama, his grandparents who raised him, they were some of the founders of the CIA. They were with the original OSS. And then we know about George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush. All their backgrounds of the CIA are not really hidden. Well, some of it is. I mean, they don't talk about George H.W. Bush's involvement in the Bay of Pigs because that was a failure. So they kind of covered that up. But, yeah, he was there from the very beginning. Who knows? Maybe he had something to do with Dealey Plaza as well. But George W. Bush comes out and says, this nativism, nah, we just cannot wish globalism away. And, you know, quite frankly, I agree with him on that. We cannot wish it away. We cannot wish bad things like globalism away. We have to fight globalism. We have to fight it like our lives depend upon it, because our lives do. And the lives of our children depend on us being able to fight away this globalism that people like the CIA operatives like George W. Bush and Barack Obama have given us. Let's play a little bit of a clip that we have here. This is some of the interesting comments that George W. Bush made yesterday as he attacked President Trump.
We must hear and help them, but we cannot wish globalization away.
A new world order.
Our security and prosperity are only found in wise, sustained global engagement.
A new world order.
We've seen nationalism distorted into nativism. We've forgotten the dynamism that immigration has always brought to America.
A new world order.
Bigotry seems emboldened. Our politics seems more vulnerable to conspiracy theories and outright fabrication. There are some signs that the intensity of support for democracy itself has waned, especially among the young.
Yeah, he's worried about those. Vulnerable to conspiracy theories. Who do you think would be the most vulnerable to a conspiracy theory? let's not talk about what Marvin Bush's brother was doing. You know, he's head of security at the World Trade Towers until September the 10th, 2011. And then he just suddenly got a new job, so he wasn't around when everything came collapsing straight down into his footprint. But when he talks about our own identity and having a commitment to global engagement, and he means that he defines our identity. He says, we're not determined like other nations. We're not determined by geography. Nah, borders don't matter. We're not determined by ethnicity or by soil or by blood. Being American involves the embrace of high ideals. What kind of high ideals are those, W? Well, that's the ideals of globalism. He doesn't lay them out at that point, but that's what he's talking about. Those high ideals are what he talked about, our identity. Earlier he said we have to recover our identity. So what are the high ideals of George Bush? You think I'm putting words in his mouth when I say that we have to embrace globalism, when he says we have to embrace high ideals? Here's what he talks about. Our identity is a commitment to global engagement, to open trade, free trade, and international trade and immigration. Now, what he is saying is that the trade should be controlled by a globalist organization. And what he's saying when he talks about immigration, he's talking about uncontrolled, illegal immigration with totally open borders. And that is basically invasion. It is people replacement. They're replacing our nation. And that's what he is about. We'll have more about this when we come back. Stay with us. We cannot wish globalism away. Yeah? George W. Bush was right about that. But we're going to make it go away. They're very upset about it. It was an unprecedented day. We had both Bush and Obama make their most pointed criticisms of Trump. They didn't mention him by name, but there's no question what they were talking about. And criticism of the movement that Trump represents. I'm David Knight. We're going to get to more of what was said by these two individuals who are not two former presidents from both parties, as Business Insider points out. Two former presidents from both parties blast the state of American politics in an unprecedented day. Well, actually, there's not two parties, are there? They're both representatives of the one party in Washington, the Deep State Party, the CIA, military-industrial complex, the entrenched permanent bureaucracy. They're both presidents of that party. And so what they're upset about is that they don't want to see a new American party rising up, because Trump is not really a Republican. They make that very clear. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. And it is a movement that isn't going to wish globalism away. We are going to wash it away. We're going to sweep it away. And they can come up with all these phony criticisms that they want to, but that's what's going to happen. Now, we're going to get back to some of what was said there. In just a moment. Before we do, real quickly, I want to remind you of some of the sales we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have 40% off Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, 40% off BioTrue Selenium, 40% off Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula. We also have 50% off Anthroplex, 30% off Super Male Vitality, and 50% off Brain Force. That's not going to last much longer. That's the deepest we have ever discounted Brain Force, and it sold so quickly, we're going to have to stop that sale to keep some supply in stock for people who sign up for auto ship. Finally, we have 20% off InfoWars Wake Up America coffee. Just enter the code WAKEUP at checkout. We made that easy for you to remember. You just put the code WAKEUP to get Wake Up coffee and get 20% off of that InfoWars Wake Up America coffee. We have two different blends. Try them both for that price. You can get 20% off the coffee. Just enter the code WAKEUP at checkout. All right, let's go back, and I want to play. You did a great job of putting that together, Julian. I want to play that again because I want you to hear, interspersed in these attacks on American nationalism, what he calls nativism, from George W. Bush, I want you to hear his daddy. Because, you know, he's a chip off the old block, or maybe we could say he's a shrub off the old bush. And so I want you to hear that because there is an echo of George Bush's New World Order and everything that was said yesterday by George W. Bush. Here's that clip we played for you before. I want you to hear this again and listen carefully what he says and understand this is an echo of HW's New World Order.
We must hear and help them, but we cannot wish globalization away.
A new world order.
Our security and prosperity are only found in wise, sustained global engagement.
A new world order.
We've seen nationalism distorted into nativism. We've forgotten the dynamism that immigration has always brought to America.
A new world order.
Bigotry seems emboldened. Our politics seems more vulnerable to conspiracy theories and outright fabrication. There are some signs that the intensity of support for democracy itself has waned, especially among the young.
Yeah, he would know something about outright fabrication. He is part of a large part of a lot of that. Remember the weapons of mass destruction? Remember that conspiracy theory that he pushed to us? Remember the conspiracy theory where three buildings fell down in their footprint? Just fell straight down their footprint. And one of them was not even hit by a plane. We've never, he's talked about some conspiracy theories and outright fabrications. Nobody does it better than George W., the shrub. But of course, at that speech, it also featured some other heavy hitters from the establishment, people like Condoleezza Rice and Ambassador Nikki Haley. Yes, yes, the lady who kicked off the purging of our national symbols. Because there was a Confederate flag in the background with Dylann Roof, we had to purge everything that was Confederate. But now we've gone all the way back to Christopher Columbus. Because you can tie everybody in one way or the other in American history. You can tie them back to slavery, can't you? And of course, I could do that with the indigenous people as well. If I wanted to, I could tie every leader of every civilization back to slavery. It's nothing that is unique to European civilization, but they want to use that to tear down European civilization. You know, Obama said, some of the things that we see now, we thought we'd put to bed. I thought we had too. I thought we'd moved on from slavery. But no, they're going to make that the basis for purging our culture, for purging our history, for purging our nation. Obama said, that's folks that are looking 50 years back. That's when he gets folksy, right? He wants to appeal to you from his black side because he's as white as he is black. So he says, that's folks looking 50 years back. It's the 21st century now, not the 19th century. Well, yeah, that's great. Well, you know, when it works for him, but they don't go back just to the 19th century. They go back to the 15th century to tear down the foundations of America. That's what he's a part of. And when you look at Nikki Haley, President Trump, you know, that his biggest mistake by far has been his appointments. He has put people in positions that are never Trumpers, and they're still never Trumpers. They're absolutely opposed to the agenda, the Trump agenda that he went on, the Trump agenda that is going to continue after President Trump is gone, because we're not going to let this go. These guys think they can destroy that we're just wishing this away. We're wishing away their globalism by electing President Trump. They think they can block him. They think that'll be the end of it. It's not going to be the end of it. you're not going to shut us up, and you're not going to stop this agenda. And when Bush talks about this, and he talks about a commitment to global engagement, as I talked about, that means that we are going to merge together in supranational groups. When he talks about free and international trade, that means that we're going to turn over our economy for management to something like the organization that was going to manage the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Partnership. Those organizations would not be accountable to any of the governments that created them. They would not be accountable to you. They're not elected. We don't know who they're going to be, but they would have absolute power to modify that agreement as they wish. And, of course, they would also have absolute power to modify our economy, to punish or reward certain industries in certain nations. And so that's what he's talking about when he says free and international trade. He's talking about things like the North American Free Trade Agreement. How's that worked out for you, America? As soon as that was put in, we saw our trade deficit with Mexico, which had been a rough parity up to that point. Some years we would run a surplus. Some years they would run a surplus against us. But as soon as that was put in, we jumped, you know, and that would be a surplus or a deficit of anywhere from $2 to $5 billion. One year it would favor one nation, the next year it would favor the other one. And it was roughly equivalent. After NAFTA, it jumped to $15 billion for the first several years. It has gone as high as $60 billion for several years. And we have lost millions of jobs. That's what he means by free trade. It means freely giving away your jobs, freely giving away your economy. And then he goes into immigration, and he talks about the fact that we have forgotten the dynamism that immigration has always brought to America. Look, it is great to have an influx of new blood and new cultures and new ideas in this country. But you cannot have uncontrolled illegal immigration, because when you do that, that is nothing but an invasion. If you have no say-so over who comes into your country, and if you have no say-so as to the number of people who come in at a given time, then you have to understand that this is an invasion. And people in America, as well as people in Europe, are waking up to the fact that the globalists want to replace not only the people who are here, but the culture that is here, the legal system that is here, and they don't see us as having a nation that is defensible. Because George W. Bush goes down and says, our identity as a nation, unlike other nations, is not determined by geography and so forth. Yeah, the borders don't mean anything to people like George W. Bush. And just remember, you know, when we go back, where this is all coming from. Remember when we had President Trump running and he had all the he could distill his opponents down to one word. Crooked Hillary. Little Marco. And low energy Jeb. So we make that one word, we can just put a hyphen there. Low energy Jeb. Because they knew that Jeb was low energy. They had to put an exclamation mark behind his name to try to give him a little bit of energy artificially. And that really eviscerated Jeb and the Bushes. And remember the picture of George H.W. Bush in the wheelchair. And he draws his finger across his neck like a cutting movement when they introduced President Trump. Like, gonna get that guy. And this is where they're trying to stick the knife in him. But they're really coming after you. They're coming after the people who support the Trump agenda, who support America, who put America first, not their globalist New World Order. Stay with us. I'm David Knight. We'll be right back. The establishment and the phony two-party system that you see. It's also John McCain. I'm David Knight. We're going to break this down along with some other news stories here at the top of the hour. And then we're going to get into the real Russian collusion updates that we've got coming up. We're going to have some updates about Catalonia because there's going to be some developments there this weekend, I believe. Spain is going to push back against that. But there's also another referendum in northern Italy. You haven't heard about that. That's going to happen this weekend. They're going to vote on whether or not parts of northern Italy want to secede. See, this is a movement that George W. Bush can't shut down. He can't wish it away. He says, we can't wish away globalism. No, we're going to vote it away. We're going to shut it down. This is a worldwide movement. This isn't something that is just one man. President Trump was wise enough to understand this movement and to tap into it. And I believe that he philosophically agrees with it. He was against the so-called free trade agreements that eviscerated this country's economy in so many different ways. He was against that 25 years ago. So this is something that was already on his mind. He wasn't just looking out there and seeing what the zeitgeist was and tapping into it more wisely than these establishment politicians. He was part of that. But they still don't understand the forces that are at work that are going to sweep them and their legacy into the gutter where it belongs. And one of these people is John McCain. There's an article from Daily Caller. They say the number of people who could have provided BuzzFeed News with the copy of the dirty dossier about President Trump that was created by a British spy. You can't make this up, but they can make it up. Okay, they can make this stuff up. Only a few people, they said, had access to the full document, which consists of 17 memos dated between June 20th, 2016 and December the 13th. One of those persons was John McCain. And we know that he sent somebody to the UK, one of his staffers, to go get that information. And he has admitted that he gave it to Director Comey, FBI Director Comey. And in a very contentious call with the Daily Caller on Wednesday, he said, I gave it to no one except for the director of the FBI. I don't know why you're digging this up now. Well, there's a good reason for this, because we're starting to look into what was really going on, the real collusion, the collusion between Republicans and Democrats and the deep state, the surveillance state, the military industrial complex, all these people who were allied to make sure that we didn't get anybody from outside of their club in charge of things, and they would do whatever they needed to do. So I've got a poll up at Libertarian. You can find that, and I ask you, what do you think? Do you think that John McCain gave this to BuzzFeed? Or do you believe John McCain? Do you really believe that guy? So you can go to that poll, Libertarian. You can vote on that poll. Now, one of the things that I think is dragging us down is the moral and cultural vacuum. So they're trying to sweep away everything they can about history. That's why the attacks on the monuments. They're trying to tear down the foundations of this country. They're trying to tear down the customs of this country. As a matter of fact, one of the stories that I have here is about how some politically correct elementary school in Massachusetts is going to ban Halloween. They're going to call it Black and Orange Spirit Day. Black and Orange Spirit Day. Why? It's because of political correctness. You can't have people running around in costumes dressed like Indians, for example. I guess they could still dress like cowboys. That's not been banned yet. But you can't have them dressed around, running around dressed like Indians. So they're just going to avoid the whole harmful controversy by shutting it down. That's what Marxism does. And, of course, we have shut down our own foundations. We've shut down our foundations of Christianity. The Church of England reaches more people on social media than attend church. That's the vacuum. There is an overt effort to erase Christianity. But, of course, the Christians are doing it to themselves as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. In China at our peril. I'm David Knight, and yesterday I talked a good deal about this new leader, or I should say he's not actually a new leader, but he's assuming new powers. And the fact that he was doing this at their five-year Communist Party meeting is a reminder that these guys are still communists. They have not given up on communism. And this new leader, President Xi, has come out to make himself a cult leader along the lines of Mao. And he's got some very important designs. And I just want you to take a look. We're just going to go over a few of these headlines here that are coming out. This is from Yahoo News. With tears and song, China welcomes Xi as a great and wise leader. See, that's the part of the cult of personality. And the interesting thing about it is that at this five-year, again, like all communists, all good communists do, they have five-year plans. They come up and they plan the economy once every 5 years and they don't know, they don't have any mechanism for feedback because they don't have a free market. And a free market, people, it is constantly being adjusted by the choices of the consumers, by the votes of the consumers. But of course, in a communist organization, you don't really even get votes, right? You don't even get to choose that. And then once every 5 years, these guys get together and decide, what they're going to do. But it's really more about who's going to be the leader. And what powers that leader is going to have and what powers he's going to take away from the people there. And so this is at a Politburo standing committee that he heads. Again, another reminder that we're talking about communists here. We're talking about hardcore Marxists. These are not people who are sadder but wiser about socialism. No, they want it good and hard for their people. You may think that that's the case. No, they relaxed it for a while so that they could get more powerful. And again, when we talk about the difference between fascism and communism, and you've got these anti-fas out there, the anti-fascists, and you've got the people who are the anti-Maz, the anti-Marxists fighting it out, we understand that they eventually wind up in the same place. And the big disagreement between Hitler and Stalin was Hitler, although he called himself a socialist, a national socialist, he said that Stalin and the Russians had made the mistake, a tactical mistake, of taking all the property at the beginning instead of doing what he was going to do. And that was using the energy and the vitality of allowing some private ownership that he would tightly control. That's why we talk about economic fascism is like crony capitalism. Yes, there is the facade of private ownership, but those people are highly controlled, highly regulated. And the only people that are allowed to exist are the big corporations that work with Der Führer, or the leader, as we have here, the great wise leader, as this communist is calling himself. And so the strategy, controlling everything, owning everything, was the same for both the fascists and for the communists. But Hitler wisely understood that he was going to get farther if he allowed some independence and some freedom from people. And so that's the enlightened idea of the Chinese. The Chinese look at this and say, you know, cultural revolution where we starved 45 million people and said everybody's going to have to go work on the land and everything, that didn't work out too good. Maybe we need to wise up a little bit. Let's use some, let's lighten things up. Let's give people a little bit of a taste of a free market. Let's loosen some of the energy that individuals have, the creativity that individuals have. We'll do that for a while, and then we'll take most of the money that comes out of that, and we'll keep it within a small group of people. And then we'll take it back. So they kind of roll it back to the kind of national socialism that Hitler had. You know, what we've seen in China is a kind of fascism, a kind of corporate fascism, crony capitalism. And understand that built into the China price are things like stealing people's copyrights. You know, you tell people, come over here, we've got slave labor that we'll offer you. You know, just like Hitler. We got slave labor. You can build your factories here. You can get your stuff really cheaply. And then what they do is they steal the packaging. They steal the product design. Sometimes they just create phony products. I mean, we've had people who had their brake pads made in China. And some of the criminals in China would steal the packaging and then sell it back in the American market. And you couldn't tell it from the real stuff, except that those brakes weren't made out of real brake material. When people had a failure, it compounded the problem. Not only did the company not make any money for selling the real brakes, but then they got sued because people thought it was their product when it was this garbage knockoff that just had their packaging on it. But when you look at the China price, it's based on a lot of things. It's based on shutting down competition internally. It's based on predatory pricing. It's based on currency manipulation. It's based on piracy, whether it is intellectual property or physical property. It's piracy. So these people are criminals. They're criminal crony capitalists. They're criminal fascists. And now they've got a big pile of cash, and they're going to come back and try communism again. And here's what they're doing with their big pile of cash. China's Perfect World, it's a corporation in China, is going to give $250 million to Universal Pictures. And what are they going to make? They're going to make pictures that are going to propagandize America. It's going to sell us a happy version of China when this guy, quite frankly, President Xi, is going down the same path as North Korean dictators, a path of totalitarianism, a path of total communism, and a path of worship me, I'm the leader. As I was saying, he goes on this Politburo committee, and he has a document that has his name on it. Xi Jinping, thought on socialism with Chinese characteristics for a new era. And as they point out in Yahoo, they say this will cement his power with his new eponymous slogan being incorporated into the party's constitution. So he's got his name there, and he's got his slogan, and it's going to be in the constitution because he is the maximum leader, the great wise leader. And so they've got this big pile of cash. They're going to be propagandizing us through Hollywood. He's laid out, as Australia News points out, he's laid out a 30-year deadline to rule the world. He said, we're going to have the biggest military in the world. We're going to have comparable stuff in about 7 to 8 years, but then we're going to have the biggest military in the world by 2050. So it's his 30-year deadline to rule the world. I think that summarizes it pretty well, what we saw evolve in the last couple of days. And how is he going to do it? It's not just going to be with a big military. As the Free Thought Project points out, China is going to compel Saudi Arabia to trade oil in their currency, in the yen, ending petrodollar as the world reserve currency. I said this yesterday. I said that is the goal. That is the goal of both Russia and China. And it is the goal of the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, that group that has been put together. They've all talked about ending the dominance of the petrodollar. They understand that is the foundation, the economic foundation that they have to undermine. And you've also seen other countries that are enemies of America, Venezuela, Iran, who are also big energy producers, saying we're going to sabotage the petrodollar. And we have seen Saudi Arabia moving to Russia, moving closer to them, buying weapons from them, investing in Russia, and then in return getting Russian weapons. The same type of stuff they did as they established the petrodollar as the world currency. Now the Saudis are playing the same game with Russia to get leverage against us, because they understand that the American energy industry is, we are, if we get the government off of our back, if we stop these globalists in Washington, D.C., we have more energy in America than any of these people do. And by the way, we're the ones who discovered it. We're the ones who refined it. We're the ones who created the applications for it. We don't need the Saudis. We don't need their raw materials. And they haven't produced anything of any intellectual value in terms of using the raw materials that we possess in abundance. We have more coal than they have oil by many, many times. We have more of all of that stuff. Stay with us when we come back. I'm going to finish with what Rex Tillerson said. He said China is dumping enormous levels of debt on developing nations as they are undermining our petrodollar. It's economic warfare. It's going on now. It's been going on since Kissinger brought them into the globalist alliance. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. China is going to compel Saudi Arabia to trade oil in their currency, thereby destroying the petrodollar as the world reserve currency. That's the prediction of Carl Weinberg, chief economist and managing director at High Frequency Economics. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And what else is up China's sleeve? I'm David Knight. We're going to get back to that in just a moment. Before we do, real quickly, I want to tell you about the sales that we have at InfoWars.com. Your purchases of products that support your health are what support our operation here. You know, there's economic censorship that is coming at us in every direction, whether it is accepting ads on our website, putting ads for our products, our supplements, our water filters on other websites. They try to shut that down. They try to demonetize, as you've seen, everyone on the conservative and libertarian spectrum. Now, the way we do is we sell these products to you directly. Your purchase of the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com is what keeps us going here. And so that's why they're eager to attack that as well. But we have the highest quality products that you'll find anywhere. One of those is BrainForce Plus. And it's 50% off, the deepest discount we have ever had on BrainForce Plus. It's a very popular nootropic, and it is something that I've said is my favorite supplement that we have here because I can really feel it. I would call it Brain Focus if I were going to name it. I would have suggested that's the name if I had tried it before we started selling it. We also have some other big discounts. We have 50% off Anthroplex as well, and we have 30% off Supermale Vitality. And until the end of this week, we have several very important supplements that in terms of iodine, selenium, and B12 that are all 40% off. Our Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, 40% off. Our BioTrue Selenium, we call it BioTrue because it is non-GMO. It's not synthetic. There's no fillers. And it is made from 100% organic mustard seed. That is 40% off, BioTrue Selenium. And Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formulation, that is also 40% off. And finally, we have 20% off of InfoWars Wake Up America Coffee. A great coffee, wonderful blend. And we have two different blends. Actually, we have Patriot Blend and Immune Support Blend. You can get 20% off of InfoWars Wake Up America Coffee if you put the code WAKEUP in at checkout. That's enter the code WAKEUP to get 20% off InfoWars Wake Up America at checkout. Now, this prediction that came from Carl Weinberg, again, he's a economist, a managing director, and he was on CNBC. He said China will compel Saudi Arabia. How are they going to do that? How are they going to compel them to ignore the petrodollar, which has been the basis of our currency since we got off the gold standard in the 70s? You know, we had Kissinger and Nixon take us off the gold standard, and Kissinger and Nixon created this alliance with Saudi Arabia that we call the petrodollar, and then Kissinger and Nixon opened up China, took them out of the dark ages that Mao had put them in, and now we've got this Chairman Mao wannabe, President Xi Jinping, who is basically making himself most excellent leader. No, actually, he isn't. Was that Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? That would be good if they took the policy, be excellent to one another. But no, they don't have anything where they want to be excellent to anybody. It is a very monopolistic, very Marxist regime, and that may be their downfall. Marxism may be their downfall. It will be. It's been the downfall of everybody who has tried to embrace it. But they got off of it for a while, as I mentioned before. They went into a fascist economy, a crony capitalist economy, a pirate economy. And now they got a big wad of cash. They're going to be investing it in Hollywood. They got a 30-year deadline to rule the world with their military. But it's also an economic component. And Weinberg noted that China is poised to dominate the global landscape in terms of oil demand, since they will soon pass the United States as the biggest oil importer on the planet. Now, why is that? Well, that's because of things like the phony Paris Climate Agreement that allows them to continue to build fossil fuel plants that don't have any regulations on how dirty they are. Unlike the United States, we have highly regulated fossil fuel plants, and we would be restricted as to the number that we build, but they are adding massive amounts of numbers, and I don't have the stats in front of me. I should have gotten them before the program, but I think that they're adding more each year than we currently have. And so they are they're exploding in terms of their fossil fuel use. So they're going to be the biggest oil importer because they don't have the resources that we do. And so for both of those reasons, Saudi Arabia will have to pay attention to this, because 1 or 2 years from now, Chinese demand will dwarf U.S. demand. And he says, I believe that yuan pricing of oil is coming, and as soon as the Saudis move to accept it, as the Chinese will compel them to do, then the rest of the oil market will go along with them, and it will be the end of the petrodollar, and it will be the end of our fiat currency that doesn't have anything backing it up. Then all those loans are going to come home. And at the same time, we have Rex Tillerson coming out saying yesterday that China is a predator for dumping enormous levels of debt on developing nations. Well, let's not just talk about developing nations. Let's talk about the enormous amount of debt that China owns on the U.S. Oh, we don't want to talk about that, do we? And quite frankly, they have looked at all the games that have been played by the globalist elite. You know that whole idea with the petrodollar? Well, they're going to have a petro-yuan instead. And they're going to take what we have been doing with the International Monetary Fund. Remember, it was Robert McNamara who went to the IMF, and he was accused of rent-seeking because he was going to third-world countries, to developing nations, and he was encouraging them to buy, to not buy anything. He wasn't encouraging them to rebuild their infrastructure, as European nations had done after World War II. He was encouraging the developing nations to go into debt for their welfare states. Make a welfare state. Give money away to people. And go into debt to do it. And that was considered to be predatory. He was criticized. He says, you're rent seeking. You're trying to turn these people into perpetual renters. You're selling them debt so that they can create an ever expanding entitlement welfare state. And they're never going to be able to pay that off. Well, guess what? We've had people like the establishment, both Republicans and Democrats, who have done that to us. They have turned us into renters. We are now renters to China. We're now debtors to China. And it is a predatory practice that has been encouraged by those same people. They did it to third world countries, and they did it to the United States. Our debt is exploding. And who owns that debt? People like Saudi Arabia, people like China. And when the petrodollar collapses, they're going to call that in. That's going to be one of the ways they set up their supremacy. And so understand that the only hope that we've got is that Xi Jinping wants to be Mao Zedong. And that could be the fatal flaw. Because if he builds the foundation on that crumbling, shifting sand, it will fall. But we don't have a foundation anymore in the West either. In Europe, they point out, the official governments there are erasing Christianity. Now, this is a report from WND. It's from the Gatestone Institute. And one of the things they said there, they say that the leaders of Europe are putting together documents and structures, and you see them in the European Parliament and the museums that they're opening. They ignore, they even repudiate the Christian roots of Europe. And at the same time, they take great care not to offend Muslims, who they imagine will cheerfully adopt their secular multicultural outlook. As a matter of fact, they hold Islam up as one of the founders of Europe, which is not true. And if we erase this foundation, we will crumble.
InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's the real news with your host, David Nutt.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and joining us in studio is a very special guest, Gabe Hoffman. He's a hedge fund manager, a philanthropist. He's the owner of Esponda. Is that the correct pronunciation? Esponda Productions? Okay, good. And we're going to talk to him today, and he's in studio here at InfoWars because of a very important documentary that hasn't really gotten much exposure. And it's kind of interesting when you contrast his documentary to a previous documentary done by the same director. Now, back in 2006, Amy Berg directed a film called, what's the name of this? Deliver Us from Evil. And that was widely acclaimed because it exposed pedophilia in the Catholic Church. She got an Oscar nomination for that. And then in 2014, Gabe produced a film with the same director, the same subject, the same crime, pedophilia, except this time it was about Hollywood. And they had problems getting distribution in Hollywood. Because if you want to talk about crimes of the Catholic Church, that's one thing. You want to talk about the pedophilia of Hollywood, that's a completely different story. No. We're not interested in talking about that. So joining us now is Gabe Hoffman. In 2000, he was at the age of 22. Gabe Hoffman was the youngest hedge fund manager on Wall Street while employed by Welch Capital Partners, a New York-based money manager. So that's how he made his money, and then he got into producing films. How did that happen, Gabe?
Well, it was really funny. We didn't come out to make a film at all. I'm a research-based guy. I deal with the facts. And we just decided, we got the pitch from my friend Matt Valentinus, our co-producer. We went to school together, and he told me, look, I've worked in Hollywood for 15 years. I know that Hollywood has a big, big pedophile problem. I said, look, I'm not a filmmaker, but philanthropy, hey, doing good for society, I could be convinced. So we cut a small check just for all the research with the film company, Amy's Disarming Films. Mm-hmm. We hired private investigators, the whole nine yards. It took months and months, and I got binders full of information about convicted Hollywood pedophiles, in some cases, still working in the industry.
Wow.
It's what you see in an open secret is less than 5% of the credible information that we got.
Wow.
So when I got all that stuff, I said, gosh, I lived a nice, normal childhood. I'm thankful for it. I've done well in life. Writing that check was one of the easiest things I've ever done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. You know, that's interesting. You didn't get into this because you wanted to be a big-time Hollywood producer, like, let's say, Harvey Weinstein. You wanted all the perks of Hollywood. You didn't get into it because of that. Instead, you wanted to do some good.
Well,
and we've seen that from other people. And as soon as you get into it and you say, I'm going to take a look at pedophilia, they come after you. They shut down your funding. They do anything they can to. Did you have, I'm sure you had some opposition to that, some harassment from that before even the film was completed?
Yeah, it's not really a great pickup line with, you know, girls to say that you're a Hollywood producer and then get asked for what, and you have to tell them what you made the film about. but yeah, to your point, I was lucky that we didn't have to rely on anybody else for funding. Once that research happened and once we got that information, the camera started rolling. I was supposed to be just the anonymous financial backer. I don't do TV. I'm not a film guy. I'm an anonymous hedge fund guy. And by the way, I'd like to give a shout out to my big government overlords, the SEC, that I'm not here marketing my fund. In case you're watching, kiss, kiss, I am compliant with all of your rules and regulations. My fund is closed. We are not taking in any new investors. And you know that because, like every other hedge fund out there, you sent people who camped out at our offices for a week just last year, and we were totally clean as we've always been.
That's the way they get people, getting down into the minutiae of the regulations. And I think that's one of the things, you know, when we look at what's going on with the ever expanding investigation of President Trump, once they get into financial crimes. And it's kind of interesting, you know, that the financial crimes are so complicated, and that's what they actually took down the long-term pedophile who was the Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert, the longest serving Speaker of the House for the GOP. They took him down not because of his pedophilia. As a matter of fact, he probably got that position. I'm sure he got that position because of his pedophilia. But they took him down with financial crimes because he withdrew his own money out of the bank. Of course, in a way, he was kind of hoisted by his own petard because he was it was under his leadership that they put those rules in that are patently absurd. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with money laundering. They know once the money is in the bank, I mean, they could put in structuring if they wanted to put it under the pretense of controlling money laundering. They could do that when people are putting the money into the bank. But pulling the money out, why should that be an issue? You know, why should that be something? But that's what they took him down for. And that, one of the things, too, and you can talk about this with the film here, the pedophiles get away with this because they have such a short statute of limitations. That once you find out about it, then they basically say, well, it's more than 2-3 years, so nothing can be done to these people about it. That's why they came after Hastert the way they did.
Well, it's amazing. You know, big government and through their mouthpieces in big media, they would make you think that it's absolutely necessary, that it is so complicated. That's the story they tell you, that you can't regulate the financial system simply, that you need hordes, tens of thousands of new SEC agents and all kinds of stuff just to regulate the financial sector. I'm here to tell you that they're wrong about that. And I'll give you a really simple example. You've heard of Bernie Madoff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That was the single biggest hedge fund fraud in history. And it happened right before President Obama and all the Democrats took power in 2008. Well, guess what? Bernie Madoff was something called a registered investment advisor. Okay. And that means there's a whole lot of rules and regulations and all that. Now, what that was designed for, it was back in the 1930s, and it was designed for people who were going to give financial advice to individuals. In other words, you come in and they tell you, okay, we're looking at your stuff and to plan for retirement and this and that. You should do this and the other thing. It's okay. You need to have a lot of certifications for all that. You're dealing with mom and pops and so on and so forth. Well, even Bernie Madoff, when the SEC had come to visit him every year for a few days, they still missed his fraud. You'd say, why? Very, very simple. Just like you and anybody else would keep their money in a bank account, a hedge fund manager keeps their stocks, their bonds, whatever they own, currencies, or whatever they're short. That's all kept at something called a prime brokerage, like a J.P. Morgan or a Goldman Sachs, in my case, Bank of America. It's just a term for a hedge fund's bank account, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is checking your books at the end of every year, your auditors and your accountants and all that, well, guess what? They call your prime broker and they get the documents and say, oh, yeah, okay, he's got what he really says he has in there. Very simple. And 99.9% of all hedge funds use a big Wall Street bank prime broker so that somebody can check their deposits as it were, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Madoff was his own prime broker.
And they allowed that.
Absolutely. and not only that, so simple.
He has a couple of different hats.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So he could just make up whatever deposit sheets he wanted. So the simple way to regulate things when you find out there's a Bernie Madoff is the government should go around and say, wait a minute, here's what the 99% of honest people do just because they're honest in the industry. And we'll make that a rule. We'll codify best practices, right? Common sense that, hey, if you want to be a fund, you can't pretend that you're your own bank. You can't be your own prime broker. Mm-hmm. That's not what they did. Obama and his Democrat cronies passed a big Dodd-Frank, as you know, and among a lot of other things they whacked in the financial system was hedge funds. And they said, everybody now, even though hedge funds are just a toy for the rich to, you know, put in a pool and invest and hopefully make more money, they decided to jam the registered investment advisor thing on us.
Wow.
And now you
don't have
any
startup hedge funds. That's a story that we haven't heard too much. We've heard what they did to the small banks, basically making it impossible for them to participate in mortgages and driving many of them out of business and making it very difficult for consumers to get loans. But I hadn't heard that about the hedge funds. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk to Gabe Hoffman. We're going to have a clip of the film Open Secrets, the story that Hollywood doesn't want you to see. I'm David Knight. We'll be right back.
I think every little kid dreams about being famous and being in movies.
This is California. This is where you make it. This is where it all starts.
You'll get signed by a label. You can star on Disney Channel. You know, what kid wouldn't want that, right?
I remember you asked me if I ever did anything with a guy before. I was not interested at 12.
You're not recording this, right?
Looks like an angel.
Hollywood doesn't have any system in place to protect anybody, and children are way down on that list.
Children need management just like everybody else.
Walk like an angel.
Everybody liked him.
He became part of the family.
In the beginning, it was happy, and then things started changing.
Oh, you talk like an angel.
They pick on people who they know will be victims.
You have an adult who is manipulating the child.
Hired on the spot like that. That had never happened before. It was obvious that something was going on.
You fool. The party made me feel uncomfortable. There were lots of drugs available, and there were young teenage boys.
I remember being scared.
He just told me this is what you have to do.
A number of boys told me to point the gun at them just like that.
He said, do you not understand the power I have?
You're the devil in disguise.
Wow, that's a very powerful trailer. You're listening to the trailer for Open Secret, and we're talking to the producer, Gabe Hoffman. And, of course, Hollywood did not want this story told. That's one of the reasons that you need to see it. Because even though they had given an Oscar nomination to the same director, Amy Berg, on the same subject about the same crime, pedophilia, when it was an exposure of the Catholic Church, when they did this film that was about the rampant pedophilia in Hollywood, Hollywood didn't want to distribute it, did they, Gabe?
No, Hollywood did everything they could at every step of the way to try to keep this film from the American people. And every step of the way we fought them. And Now it's out there.
So the key thing that they did to oppose you, because you talked about the fact that they couldn't shut down your funding like they do for some people who crowdsource something. You had, as a hedge fund manager, somebody came to you and said, hey, there's this problem in Hollywood. And you're like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to be a film producer. You weren't into being a Harvey Weinstein type of guy, right? So it's like, I don't want to become powerful and have starlets, falling at my feet or whatever. But you said, look, yeah, I'll do that as a philanthropist. And so you bankrolled it. They couldn't come after you financially because you had enough money that you could produce this film on your own. So they couldn't shut it down from that angle. What they did, though, was after you got the film done, they tried to block distribution, didn't they? Tell us what happened with that.
Every step of the way. So at a film festival, if you're just a couple college grads and you've got a $50,000 from friends and family, they'll let you in with your documentary and you'll maybe be in the corner somewhere. You won't be on the main screen. So no less than three film festivals we got into, and then weeks later, when the higher-ups found out from the Hollywood bigwigs, we got kicked out. It was unprecedented.
Wow.
Of course, that didn't stop us. We took it to theaters anyway ourselves.
Yeah, and we've seen that happen as well with another controversial topic, vaccines. You know, the vaxxed, eventually, Robert De Niro said, yeah, I think we should. And then the filmmakers came out and said, no, we don't want that shown. Of course, there was pressure, we believe, from other people to shut that down. And that's the way that they do it. They get you kicked out of the film festivals. And that helps to keep you from getting any distribution. So that was in 2014. And then what happened?
So that was actually in 14 and then in 15. And by the way, the first festival we got into, Doc NYC, sold out on 2 days' notice. And it was on the front page of Drudge.
Wow.
So they just couldn't keep us down no matter what.
Well, it's a very sensational topic. And it's something that is really visceral. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of people, and talk to us about this, a lot of people might be squeamish to look at a film about this. It's like maybe there's something in their past where they've been a victim and they don't want to see what's going on. That's a big part of the problem, that people are very uncomfortable talking about it because it's such a heinous crime. And they don't want to engage the subject. Tell us how you engage that sensitive subject.
Amy did an amazing job. There is no explicit language in the film describing anything that happened. Don't get me wrong, the things that we reveal in the film itself about the dark secrets of Hollywood, we expose a big time child agent as a pedophile, and we show pedophiles that are convicted that are still working in Hollywood. All that'll really disturb you and what it does to these poor kids. But what you don't see is any sort of graphic description of any sort of the actual crimes themselves and the acts.
Yeah.
It's PG-13, but you'll see a lot worse stuff on network TV at about 9 o'clock at night.
So it's not something that's going to appeal to a pedophile, but it's something that people need to understand. And that's an important distinction. I mean, some people get very prurient in their depiction of things, which, that's good that you avoid that. But what we heard in that trailer, like the guy saying, yeah, this guy shows up, he was hired on the spot. That never happens. That was kind of unusual. Another guy says, yeah, he pointed a gun at their face, and said, do this or that. I mean, that's the level of corruption. We're seeing this with Harveywood, okay, where they're taking all the sins of Hollywood and they're putting them on this one scapegoat that they're then going to send over the cliff or whatever, right? And then that's going to basically exonerate them from all this. But this is something that is far more perverse. That's going on in Hollywood that hasn't even been exposed yet, that's talked about in your documentary, Open Secret.
You've even had A-listers come out just in the last couple of days and talk about what happened to them. Even folks like Jennifer Lawrence when she was 15 years old, and so on and so forth. And there's been about 10 like that.
And it was
that.
A year and a half ago that we had the tweet out there by Elijah Wood, which I believe was, he came back and said, well, I was basing it on seeing the film Open Secret or whatever. But, we've got others who have talked about this. And, Corey Feldman was talking about what happened to his a really good friend, Corey Haim. And that all started coming out about the same time as your film was coming out, but everybody kind of tamped that down. They said, no, we're not going to listen to Corey Feldman, and we're not going to let your film get distributed.
And we went to the highest journalistic standards in an open secret. The big Hollywood people that we exposed didn't have a dang thing on us. We never got sued. We never even got a credible threat of suit. And by the way, there's Hollywood bigwigs that are in there that we didn't even know about, but when we got threatened, we said, okay, we'll go and tag him. You ever seen the film Grease?
Oh, yeah.
course. So the director, Randall Kleiser, well, 20 years later, I guess his career took a tumble, and he was a director for some of this pedophile ring den's little web shows. So he's hanging around with all these pedophiles. Well, his attorney, Michael Donaldson, the biggest, you know, Hollywood sort of firm out there, sent us something really threatening, saying, well, he's, you know, in there for 5 seconds. We didn't even know he was in there. So we wrote him back and said, hey, go pound sand. Now we're going to put a tag on him so everybody knows.
That's great. That's great. So talk about some of the people in just the last week or so, besides Jennifer Lawrence, that have come out talking about this. Because I think that this is, there's going to be either one or two ways that this is going to roll. Either they're going to try to just confine it around Harvey and just, you know, the Weinstein group, maybe his brother, too, they're going to drag into it now because that started going back and forth. But maybe they're going to get a little bit more broad on this. Maybe it will get to some of the people, like you said, like Jennifer Lawrence, who was who they came after when she was just 15 years old.
Or Reese Witherspoon when she was 16, who was courageous enough to talk this week. Or Michaela Maroney, who was part of the Fierce Five that won the gold medal for the U.S. women's gymnastics team. This goes deep and this goes broad through all aspects of entertainment. And you're going to hear about this from not just when you think Hollywood, it's not just film, it's music, it's theater, it's sports, it's all over the place. And you're seeing the dam breaking now. These big, powerful people, they can't hold it back anymore. And that's part of why we put this out there to the public. You know that over 1 million views just in the week that we made this free?
Wow.
I mean, these powerful Hollywood people are opening up their Twitter feeds, and I kid you not, thousands and thousands and thousands of people calling them out by name, hitting them with their at symbols right to their face.
Wow. And where is it free?
It's free on Vimeo. You can get at that at our Twitter, at An Open Secret.
Great, right. You know, one of the things, too, going back and tying this to Harvey Weinstein, when this all started breaking, I went back and found an op-ed piece that he had written in support of Roman Polanski, of all people, right? And, you know, he said his so-called crime, he's paid his dues for his so-called crime. I mean, that was the words of Harvey Weinstein. And this was the rape of an underage girl.
Drugging.
And yeah, let him come back. And the reason that he gave was because Roman Polanski is true to his art. That's the excuse.
Drugging and raping a 13-year-old girl is a supposed crime for which he was convicted in a U.S. court and then fled the country. And then he gets awards at those big, you know, Hollywood things. And it's so funny how they all stand up and clap to an empty screen because he's not allowed back in the country to receive it in person.
Yeah, yeah. The so-called crime. That's amazing. That's amazing. But of course, it's really about the power. And that's why these people hang out with Hollywood. Can you stay with us one more segment?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to be right back. We're going to be talking more to Gabe Hoffman. He is the producer of Open Secret, a very important film for you to see. And it's going to be free till October the 22nd. So we're going to talk to him about that more in the next segment. I'm David Knight.
Broadcasting from the great state of Texas, worldwide, it's David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're here with Gabe Hoffman. He is the producer of An Open Secret. And make sure you get that. It's not Open Secret, but An Open Secret. Very important film. You know, we had a controversy about a year and a half ago. We had reviving the controversy surrounding Corey Feldman and Corey Haim. You know, Corey Feldman is now in his 40s. Had come out and said, talked about his friend, Corey Haim, who's now dead. He was raped at the age of 11 by a man. And so Corey Feldman was talking about that. And then we had, and he took some heat for that. And then we had Elijah Wood start tweeting about it and saying that, you know, it's amazing what is going on in Hollywood. I would love to love names, so forth. And then when they started coming down on him hard, he goes, well, I was talking about this documentary film, An Open Secret. And so we have the producer of that film here with us now, Gabe Hoffman. And you did a great job in terms of exposing this thing that Hollywood does not want to be exposed. As I pointed out before, same director, same crimes. If it's okay, and they'll nominate her for an Oscar if she talks about these crimes in the Catholic Church, but don't talk about it in Hollywood. They did everything they could to shut you down and the film festivals, but once you got into one of them, it exploded. Drudge covered it. We had Elijah Woods talking about it. You know, when they try to cover this up, you know, now Corey Haim is not there to talk about it, is he?
He isn't. And so many victims of child sex abuse in Hollywood, former child stars, turn to drugs and alcohol to try to drown their pain. Some even commit suicide. But there are literally hundreds that are not anywhere near as famous who are no longer here to tell their tale. And that's why folks like Corey Feldman or films like An Open Secret are so important. You know, there's a stereotype out there that if you're a former child star and you got sexually abused, there must be something wrong with you and your family. When you watch our film, An Open Secret, our five brave survivors, you see they're from good all-American homes. Parents did the right thing, so on and so forth. But these pedophiles are good. They get close, and they pull it off anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they know how to get what they want. You know, one of the things that Elijah Wood said, he pulled back and he goes, well, my mom knew about that, and she made sure that I didn't go to any of those parties, and she watched them like very, very closely. But in your trailers, you're pointing out there's this seductive thing about offering access to fame and money and all these other things. All these people, oh yeah, I can get on the Disney Channel. Yeah, I could turn out like Miley Cyrus. I mean, who would not want that for their kids, right?
Well, I don't know about Miley Cyrus, but.
So that's the thing. Maybe people could start to learn from that. But, you know, it's also the juncture of politics in Hollywood, as we've seen in the UK, as we saw with Jimmy Savile, or Savile, I think is the way they pronounce it there, like Savile Row. Anyway, he is an entertainer who gets heavily involved with the politicians and so forth, just like Harvey Weinstein, okay? And there's a reason for that, because it's all about the power. These guys have immense power over people's lives because of that lure of fame, that lure of money. And so that power in and of itself is a kind of drug, isn't it, that draws them into politics, those same types of people.
Absolutely. I mean, Jimmy Savile famously went to Margaret Thatcher's annual holiday party for something like 10 years in a row. Mm. He was Bill Cosby, probably cubed. He would even commit pedophilia on children that he was visiting in the hospital. They only found this out after he died, but there were literally hundreds of victims. And I'll tell you what, the UK is way ahead of the US in addressing this problem. Did you know there's something called the Savile effect?
No.
So what that means, and it's been shown by...
You know what? Let's hang on, because we got to take a break in about 25 seconds here, and we'll get into that if you can stay with us into the next segment, because I'm sure the audience would like to hear about the Savile effect, and it's not about bespoke clothing. It's about keeping things secret. And, of course, there were numerous investigations that began at Scotland Yard that were shut down by the people higher up. There was a documentary that was being done on him in the BBC, and the higher-ups there shut it down as well. I'm David Knight. We'll be right back with Gabe Hoffman. Stay with us.
You found it. It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Just before the last break, we were here with Gabe Hoffman, producer of An Open Secret, exposing pedophilia in Hollywood. And, of course, it's something that, as we see with Harvey Weinstein, there's a juncture between the entertainment industry and politics, and that also existed in the UK. The person who embodied that probably the most there was Jimmy Savile, or Savile, we should say. I keep going back to the American pronunciation of it. But he was just talking about the effect that this exposure of his crimes had in the UK. Tell us about that effect, Gabe.
Sure. You can Google it, Savile effect. So what happened is, this was a few years ago. The UK took this very seriously. They started exposing it. I mean, Jimmy Savile had a weekly variety program on the BBC, which was like all three networks combined in the UK, huge for decades and decades and decades. There's almost nobody bigger. So he dies. This all comes out. huge shock. Society starts taking this seriously. And what you saw is two things happen. First, the reports of prior rape, sexual assaults, and all that across general society, as measured by their own crime stats, went up something like 100, 200, 300%, measured by Scotland Yard and others. Then, a couple years later, the incidence of new rapes, sexual assaults, and other things started going down by double digits. So what I'm trying to say in conclusion to this is, look, this is happening in Hollywood, and we're a little part of what's exposing it now here on InfoWars. But you know what? By getting it out there, talking about it, and bringing down these big, powerful Hollywood pedophiles, give it a couple years, and it's going to affect your life and American society in a positive way.
Yes, that's very important. So the effect is that you have these high-profile, very powerful people. They get brought down, and then the people who are lower down say, hey, you know, even these big guys are getting exposed, and they're not getting a pass on it. So they're definitely going to come for me, okay? So they do come for them. So you see an initial rise, and then it starts to diminish as they get these predators convicted. Other people are scared off from the predation. So maybe in the U.S. we'll have an open secret effect.
Exactly. If you see somebody as courageous that's going after a Harvey Weinstein and they're successful, if you're somebody out there who's not famous and it's, heaven forbid, a family member, coach, whatever, all of a sudden you see that, you're inspired, and you're not as afraid to bring them down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And of course, you know, when we look at Harvey Weinstein, when we look at Jimmy Savile, then we understand that they're kind of a bridge. And there's a lot of this stuff that is going on that is in Washington, D.C., that is in Westminster in the U.K., right? We saw that with Heath. It came out, the former prime minister, conservative prime minister Edward Heath, came out, all the accusers now that are surfacing, accusing him of pedophilia and things even worse, murders and so forth that are coming out. And so it's gotten so bad that people in the U.K. have said, we're going to have to stop naming buildings after individuals. We're going to just have to name them after things or events or something in the streets, because now they're having to go back and it's an embarrassment to have all these streets that were named after Heath because this is happening. And we've had Cynthia McKinney, who is a former congresswoman, and she said, in referencing your movie as well, she said, well, you know, it's Hollywood now, but it's going to go to Washington, D.C., because we know that this is all about power. And as much power as people like Harvey Weinstein have, there's even more power by the people who are in Washington, D.C. That is the reason that they exist, is to exercise that power.
Absolutely. Big government exists to grow even larger and larger and have ever-increasing amounts of control over our lives. Mm-hmm. And Hollywood is losing its grip on having its control over what we watch and what we use for entertainment.
And there's something about these people that, you know, while everybody else looks at this and says, you know, this is just incredibly sick. For them, victimizing young children gives them a sense of power and domination. That's the strange thing about it, isn't it?
It's a complicated power dynamic. Yeah. And it's important for InfoWars viewers to understand that this same power dynamic of being away from home where you're safe, where your parents can protect you, being away for long hours, be it a soccer travel team or whatever the case may be, you're vulnerable all of a sudden. So it's not just about bringing down Hollywood. Our film, An Open Secret, you'll see, and in some cases, the home videos, if you pay close attention, of how the pedophiles were doing the grooming process. You'll pick up tips to figure out how to spot a grooming process if it's happening in your town or your neighborhood or, heaven forbid, your own living room.
Yeah, yeah. That's the important thing, because a normal person can't get into the mindset of somebody who would do something like this. And you're saying that by watching this and hearing the experiences of other people, you will get an insight into their MO, their method of operation, so that you can set up some guards about that. That's the biggest problem with all of this stuff. When we talk about this stuff to people, we talk about so many things that the elites are doing. Pedophilia is one of those. And people will look at it and go, I can't believe that would happen. Why would anybody do that? That's just absolutely insane. And so a normal person can't understand why certain things that are being done by the powerful elite. And pedophilia is just one of them. They can't understand why this would happen because it's just so far outside of the possibility of anything that they would ever want to do or even consider to do. And so that's the key thing, is to understand what their tactics are and their techniques, and hearing that testimony from somebody who's been victimized by it so that you're inoculated against it or warned about the way that they operate.
And on an open secret, just like in Deliver Us From Evil, we get you into the minds of the pedophiles in their own words. You get to hear what their justifications are. You get to learn their tactics and all that so that, yeah, you can spot them. If heaven forbid there's one in your community, you're going to have a much better shot at making sure that they don't hurt more kids than they already have.
Yeah, and you referenced Deliver Us From Evil. That was the director of An Open Secret, Amy Berg. That was a film that she did about pedophile abuse in the Catholic Church, Deliver Us From Evil. And that was widely acclaimed in Hollywood. So then she wanted to do one about, well, it's also happening not just in Catholic Church, but it's also happening in Hollywood. That's when they want to try to shut that down, try to censor it. Same director, same crime, but different group of people.
The American people are clearly on our side. In 1 week, something on the internet that just started with us saying in our Twitter feed, over 1 million views. The response has been truly incredible. Mm-hmm. So we know the American people are getting on our side against Hollywood because, hey, the facts are out there and Hollywood can't control. You know, they can control the distribution. Mm-hmm. They can control financing in a lot of cases, except for us. They can control whether it goes on video on demand or whatever, you know, the Amazons and the Netflix, and, you know, they can control that, but they can't control the internet. And ultimately Hollywood can't control you.
I know that you put it out for a short period of time for free on Vimeo. Did you ever get distribution with Netflix and Amazon anyway?
None yet. And at this point we don't need them and we don't care because the American people are rising up. To take down these powerful Hollywood pedophiles.
But I think it's important for people to understand that they refuse to distribute this film. At the same time that we have the takedown of the guy who was head of the film unit at Amazon, right? For all these
maybe that had something to do with it.
So, kind of
it's funny. There's always reasons behind these things. And sometimes you get really lucky and you find out what they are sooner, like the Amazon guy. And others, maybe you don't find out till later, but I'm sure you will.
Yeah, that's just very important for people to understand where they are in this entire thing. So you've got this on for free at Vimeo as well. And do you have any, I don't want to get you killed, but do you have any plans on going after DC? if you say that, those people will kill you. They won't just shut off your distribution.
I'm just a simple hedge fund manager. This has been a very nice philanthropic project. And the reality is that everybody was afraid of Hollywood, and once we expose Hollywood and it's being exposed by the American people, they won't be afraid to take down DC either themselves.
That's great. That's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Gabe Hoffman. And again, the film is An Open Secret. And we really do thank you for your service in terms of financing this. It really is a philanthropic endeavor here to expose this truth. And you're going to be on later with Alex Jones, and you've got a special announcement with Alex Jones. So stay tuned. Welcome back. Tomorrow we're going to have some massive movements in Catalonia and Spain. Spain says that they are going to take movements to suspend autonomy in Catalonia. We're going to talk about that, the fact that it is an imminent financial crisis. People are pulling cash out of the banks, out of the ATMs today. What is going to happen? We don't know. But this all feeds into the moves that we saw yesterday by former Presidents Barack Obama and George W. Bush, as they started criticizing nationalism. And they don't really understand, and neither does the government of Spain, that there are worldwide forces at work here. And I've talked about this before. 150 years ago, there was a worldwide force. Our Civil War was not about slavery, fundamentally. Our Civil War was about a consolidation into nation states that was happening in the mid-1800s. You had a revolution that was going on, a civil war going on in Italy at the same time. Exactly the same time in the 1860s, Garibaldi and his people. And it was a movement that pitted the rising industrial class against the established agrarian class. It was a movement to consolidate power, and that movement that began 150 years ago continued. As they consolidated power from regional centers, it continued to consolidate into big nation states, and those nation states continued to consolidate, trying to move towards a world government. First big regional consolidations, like the European Union, or what they were trying to get to, a North American Union. The first step was always economic consolidation. Then they would create a regional government. Then they would combine those regional governments. That's what Zbigniew Brzezinski was talking about when he talked about set up the Trilateral Commission. He was appointed to run that because he had laid out the case earlier in a book where he said, yeah, we're going to create these regional power structures. We'll combine power in North America. We'll combine power in Europe and also in Asia. And then we'll use America as a centerpiece to pull these all together. And they were so close. They had the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Transatlantic Partnership. That was going to basically make America the spine, and it would join these two wings of the globalist government together into an economic union, and then do the same thing that we saw happen in the European Union. Take that combined economic union into a political union. But now it's moving back the other way because people don't like what they've been doing to us. We see what you've been doing to us. We're not stupid. We're not blind. We understand what your plans are. You actually had the audacity to write about them, didn't you? Mia Brzezinski, your dad, actually wrote about this stuff. You put your plans out there. We read your books. We know what you're doing. And so this is a move. This is an organic movement that comes back as many people who haven't even read the plans understand how their country is being taken away, how they're being replaced, how they're sending their money to a distant area that is controlling them and not doing anything with that money to their benefit. And they've had enough. And so they're pushing back. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about some of the crazy stuff coming up from the left. And at the next segment, we're going to be talking to Larry Pinkney about some of the division that is happening here in this country as well. Real quickly, some of the big specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. It's what funds this program, this operation here at InfoWars. BrainForce Plus, 50% off. You'll find that at InfoWarsStore.com, the biggest discount we've ever had off of BrainForce. And you'll also find Super Male Vitality, one of our most popular products, one of our earliest products, 30% off. And Anthroplex is 50% off. And three very important supplements, iodine, selenium, vitamin B12. You can get those all 40% off. Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, 40% off. BioTrue Selenium, 40% off. Secret 12, our vitamin B12, 40% off. And finally, for a limited time only, you can get 20% off of InfoWars Wake Up America. It's what all of us here on the early morning crew love. That's one of the things we look forward to in the morning is our cup of Wake Up America. That gets us going. It's great tasting coffee. You can get it 20% off with the code WAKEUP when you enter that at checkout. That's 20% off of InfoWars Wake Up America with the code WAKEUP at checkout. All right, so let's look at what's going on in Europe. The Catalonian crisis. They had the referendum. The Spanish government sent in the jackbooted thugs to beat women, children, elderly women, to try to shut down that vote. But they still had 43% of the people vote. And of those 43% of the people who voted, 90% were in favor of independence. Why did that happen? Well, it was because they said we want some more autonomy to govern ourselves. They had their own language, their own culture, but they were the most vital economically, the most vital part of the Spanish economy. And they were sending a lot of money to Spain that wasn't coming back, quite frankly. Spain was living at their expense. It was a different culture, different language. They said, we want a little bit more autonomy. How about that? They said, all right, we'll give you a little bit more. And then they took it back. And so they said, all right, well, you're going to do that. I think we should just leave. And that was the basis of this. Now, as they said, they wanted to have a democratic vote. Instead of allowing that to go forward, as the UK did on Brexit, as they did on Scottish independence, these guys showed up with the truncheon, and they started beating people and trying to shut down that vote. But it happened anyway. But now what Spain is saying is that they're going to double down on their tyrannical fascism, the land that was known for fascism with General Francisco Franco. I mean, it was a running joke by Saturday Night Live back in the 70s. You know, he was on life support. This guy had been there since before World War II. So that was a big cause celeb for many of the Marxists. They would go fight the fascists as if there was some big difference between the two different groups. It's a distinction without a difference. But anyway, after General Francisco Franco died in 75, They created a constitution after they got rid of their fascist dictator. Article 155 of the Constitution cemented the democratic rule 3 years after his death. And now they say that they're going to activate that to take away democratic rule. So that has set off a run on the banks. Catalan separatists are urging supporters to pull their cash from ATMs this morning. This is all coming to a rapid advance. Meanwhile, in Italy, as I said, this is a global movement. People wanting to have some say in their government. This is a global movement. And in Italy, northern Italy, a similar situation. They don't have a separate language or culture, but it is a wealthy area that sends a lot more of its money to the central government than they get back. And so they are going to have a referendum on Sunday. And there are other areas all throughout Europe. And this is one of the reasons why the European Union is not doing anything to help these poor people in Catalonia. Will they succeed? Will they have the guts to do this? And as we look at what's happening here, as we look at these different groups like Bilderberg, remember that as Bilderberg was meeting these globalists and their think tank, one of the things that they talked about was the precariat. All these people that they have put, that their policies, they admit, have put us in a precarious position. But of course, they use the terminology of the Marxists, you know, the proletariat. Oh, they call them the precariat. They say we're in a precarious position. And I say, no, you're in the precarious position. We're not locked in this room by you. You're locked in this room with us. And there's more of us than there are of you. And we understand that you're the ones who are in the precarious position. That's why we have George W. Bush and Barack Obama attacking President Trump. But one of the things that they realize is that as they take away our money, as they take away our income, they've got to try to pacify us some way. So the thing that they want to talk about is a universal basic income. That's being sold even by some former libertarian economists. Now the city of Stockton, California, wants to put out the first basic income grant. Money, free money for everybody. We don't have to worry about where it comes from. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with Larry Pinkney. David Knight, and we're going to be talking to Larry Pinkney, and the world keeps on turning around. It's turned around several times since I've talked to Larry. I haven't talked to him yet about Black Lives Matter and what I'd call the NEFL, this protest that's going on. But I have talked to Larry in the past about his political activism. He's a veteran of the original Black Panther Party, which is distinct from the new Black Panther Party. It's as different as Ricky Ross, the rapper, is from Freeway Ricky Ross, who has come on InfoWars and has talked about the efforts to create a crack cocaine epidemic by the CIA to fund a secret war. No, that Ricky Ross that they use is very different from the other one, who is a rapper. And the Black Panther Party is very different from the new Black Panther Party. Larry Pinkney was with them. He's a former political prisoner. He's also an editorial board member for BlackCommentator.com. He's featured in the book Saying No to Power. That's the autobiography of a 20th century activist and thinker, William Mandel. And you'll also find him on blackactivistwg.org. That's the Black Activist Writers Guild. And so joining us now is Larry Pinkney. Good to talk to you, Larry.
It is fantastic, David. It's been too long, brother.
It has. So what do you think about this Black Lives Matter and the NEFL that's going on here? Is that going to change anything?
Change anything, perhaps for the worse.
Yeah.
But you know, I love that. What do you call it? The NEFL.
The NEFL. Yeah, I had Lionel on. He said this has become the new thing, like the ice bucket challenge. Right? Everybody started doing it. It became a fad. Everybody forgot what it ever even was about, but everybody was doing it. Now we've got even, you know, white city councilors in Ann Arbor, Michigan that are taking a knee while they're doing, the other ones are standing up and doing a pledge to the allegiance. I mean, do they really know what they're protesting, or are they really going to change anything? Or like you said, is it just going to change for the worse? I agree with you. I think it's going to change for the worse.
Yeah. And quite frankly, you also asked me, and I'm not, you know me, I don't duck and dodge. You asked me about Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And the most diplomatic thing that I can say about Black Lives Matter is that they are a farce. They are a farce. F-A-R-C-E. All right? They're not about serving.
Can I put you down as an anti-fascist? because you're opposing the Black Lives Matter here. So I think that'd be a good thing to be, anti-fascist.
I'm
not surprised to hear you say that, because when we've talked in the past, and you talked about the Black Panther Party, you talked about Malcolm X, you said they didn't become a threat to the establishment until they got out of their narrow black-centric focus. Once they started involving people in the larger community, then they became a danger. And see, if you want to fix the police situation, as I've said many times, why would you concentrate it and say this is simply a black versus blue or a black versus white issue? If you really want to fix it, you're going to go out there and you're going to say to white people, hey, there may be a higher percentage of us that it's happening to, but there's more of you that it's happening to, so make common cause with us to fix this problem.
Right.
But they don't want to fix the problem.
That's right. They don't want to fix the problem. That's the reality. They crave attention. They love attention. All right. But in terms of going into the community and actually doing something in the community, and by doing something, I mean serving the people, body and soul, as we used to say. All right. Not jumping up on primetime news and talking about Black Lives Matter as if our lives are not precious. All lives are precious. Yeah. And as you said, David, we have a commonality. And if they were sincere and for real about wanting to change the systemic horrors that people across the board, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people that we face, then they would find commonality, work together, even with those with whom they might disagree.
That's right. That's right. Every institution is going to have problems. You know, we've had Frank Serpico, Alex has interviewed him in the past. And one of the things that he said is that every institution is going to have bad individuals in it. So your choice is you're either going to purge those individuals out or you're going to own that bad action. And we have to understand that it's even more than that that is involved here, because we've got the directives that are coming out of the central government that are changing the way the police have always policed. And so we have to understand that institutions, human institutions, are never static. They're always changing. They're changing for the better or they're changing for the worse. Can't we come together, people regardless of skin color, and try to make our institutions better instead of letting our institutions divide us by skin color?
Right. And that's the name of the game, as I have been saying for many decades now. The name of the game is to divide. Divide and conquer. Keep people in fear of each other and ignorant of each other. And I want to segue, if I may, very quickly back to what you call the NFL. That's great. That's great. You know, it's Kaepernick as an example. You know, he's absolutely entitled to his opinion, but he is not entitled to hijack and divide the struggle for human rights. And that's what he's doing. He is hijacking. The youngster has no clue, obviously. You know, and he's not entitled to exhort people to kneel when for over 450 years, people of all colors, black, white, brown, red, and yellow in this country, poor people have been struggling not to kneel, but to stand up. All right. To make changes together. Okay. You know, it's could you imagine Tommy Smith, John Carlos, Peter Norman, Muhammad Ali? Could you imagine them down on their knees? You know,
Jim Brown. I mean, Jim Brown has come out and spoken about it, probably the greatest football player ever. And he said, look, you're here, you're representing this team, this is a business, you know, and so forth. And you're entitled to do your political protests, but do them on your own time. You know, people don't show up to watch you stop doing this. Like I said before, it's kind of like you go to watch a play, and all of a sudden, the guy breaks character and he walks, you know, he's not playing, King George anymore. He walks out to the stage and he starts lecturing you about contemporary politics. And it's like, I didn't pay for this. I don't want to pay this. But that's what the people of the NFL, that's what the people in Hollywood are doing.
Exactly. And, you know, I want to segue right into this thing of kneeling again. You know, think about it from the perspective of not only do I and many others find it deeply offensive to those people who served their country militarily. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with these wars, whether it was Korea or Vietnam or whatever, but they were there. They were there. Where does Kaepernick know anything about that? Yeah. I mean, he is benefiting from that. My late father, who was a U.S. military Korean War vet, praise him. I praise him because he stood and he did what he thought was right. My cousin, who is still alive, who was a military vet in both Korea and Vietnam. Yeah, I praise him because he did what he thought was right. When Colin Kaepernick talks about freedom and justice, he first needs to understand what the price is for freedom and justice. And, you know, and I just got to say this, Mr. Youngster Kaepernick, get off your knees. Stop acting, oh, Massa, Massa, oh, Massa. That's what I'm talking about. Get off your knees. Be like Tommy Smith. Be like John Carlos. Be like Peter Norman. They stood tall. They made their statement. And this is what we should be learning from our history. And by the way, you notice that those three athletes, that one of them, who I think is not referred to enough, was actually white and from Australia. So
yeah,
I think that's important to note.
Well, I think it's also important to note that it is the owners who are also the billionaire owners who are paid for their businesses, their stadiums are subsidized by taxpayers. This the business owners who are encouraging this as well. And they're of the political stripe. You've seen ample evidence of people who are conservatives who wanted to buy an NFL team. They didn't let them join the club. This is a club that has always been about left-wing politics, and they're showing their colors right now. We'll be right back with Larry Pinkney. I'm David Knight. Stay with us. One thing leads to another. Where is this Black Lives Matter NFL protest? Where is that leading us? Where did it come from? And where are we going with it? We're talking to Larry Pinkney, a veteran of the Black Panther Party, the old Black Panther Party, as distinguished from the new one that is all about division. They were about, at the end of it, where Larry Pinkney was involved, they were about the coming together of people, black and white. They were about a community coming together to solve problems, to reform their institutions. That's not what Black Lives Matter is about. That's what we were just talking about in the last segment. We're going to go back to Larry in just a moment. Before we do, real quickly, however, I want to tell you about some of the products that we sell to fund our operation. We are under economic censorship. That's the term that Julian Assange used to talk about the demonetizing of Ron Paul and others. And, of course, we've experienced the same thing here at InfoWars. They try to shut down the ads that we receive, the ads that we serve. They try to shut down our products. They try to shut down and demonetize our videos, our view counts, you name it. It's a full spectrum economic censorship. But we sell directly to you, and your support of us by the products that you buy is what funds this operation. We're very grateful. We put some of our best-selling products on deep discounts. And let me give you an example of some of these. Super Male Vitality, 30% off. Anthroplex, 50% off. BrainForce Plus, 50% off. And that's the deepest discount we've ever had on BrainForce. My favorite supplement that we have here. I use it every day, and it helps me to focus my mind, to focus my thought. It'll make you alert. Try it, and you will love it. I guarantee it. And it's a great time to try it when it is 50% off. And if you've tried it and you like it, it's a great time to stock up. 50% off, that's going to be ending very soon because we have to keep supplies in stock for people who are set up for auto ship. Also, we have three very important supplements. You need to make sure that you've got sufficient iodine, selenium, B12 in your diet. And we have great and pure natural supplements of that. We have Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine. We get that from Deep Earth Source. That's 40% off. BioTrue Selenium. We call it BioTrue because it's 100% organic. It's made from 100% organic mustard seed. So there's no fillers, no synthetics, and no GMO in that selenium. That is 40% off. And Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula. You can take it in a liquid supplement format so you don't have to get the injection. Same effect. This vitamin B12, we call it Secret 12, and it is 40% off. And finally, 20% off of InfoWars Wake Up America Coffee. My favorite way to start out the morning, you can get 20% off when you enter the code WAKEUP at checkout. That's 20% off Wake Up America with the code WAKEUP at checkout. All right, let's go back to Larry Pinkney. We were talking about the Black Lives Matter and the NFL and the fact that these billionaires, you know, this is a club, Larry, isn't it? I mean, we've had, you look at conservative individuals, whatever, you look at Donald Trump wanted to get a team once. He was blocked by that. As a matter of fact, one of the owners of the team, his last name's Khan, I think it was the Ravens or something, but he's criticizing Donald Trump. He said, oh, this is nothing but sour grapes. And we heard the same sort of thing. You know, they kept Rush Limbaugh out. He wanted to be part of a consortium that was going to buy an NFL team. No, 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 you can't come in. Donald Trump, you can't come in. It's a billionaires club, and we know that they're coming from a particular political philosophy that to keep people out. And it was amazing when Donald Trump started talking about this, their response was one of pure elitism. How dare you disrespect the NFL? When everybody was concerned about the fact they were disrespecting the flag, the national anthem, and the things that stood behind it, like the military veterans. I had Stacey Washington on. She was saying, hey, in the service I had, you know, the flag that we would fold as we were having funeral services for fallen soldiers and everything. That's a very important thing to people who have been in the military. And they're just totally deaf to the public, to the fans. They don't understand the fans are a very important part of that. Owners and players, you're not going to have them if you don't have any fans. What do you think about that?
Well, they don't care, David. They don't care. And, you know, you're absolutely correct. It's about themselves. It's about controlling, manipulating, being in total and complete control, economically, socially, and politically. So they don't care. But they're going to start to care when they start losing their revenue, when people start turning away and saying, you know what? I didn't come here for this. Okay? And this is something that I'm quite sure that in a matter of time, we are going to see the NFL having to change its tune, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, they've gone from first to worst in terms of ratings of professional teams. I mean, they're the only sport that everybody has an annual party around, the Super Bowl party. It has been America's team sport, but it isn't going to stay that way because the open hostility, and again, we saw it with Obama and Bush attacking Trump yesterday, the open hostility to the values that they present. And this is part of an international movement of people trying to devolve power from the center. There's been, as I pointed out earlier, 150 years, power has been moving towards the center into big nation states, into a global government. But now it's moving back. We're seeing in Catalonia and other places that are having referenda. And that is a part of the movement. And Trump and Bush think that they can shut that down by saying, you're not going to be able to wish away globalism. I think we can't wish it away, but I think we can push it away, don't you?
Well, I think that Obama and Bush are playing the same old tune on the same old fiddle, you know, and this is why every action that they take is one to really take power away from everyday, ordinary black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. We must not allow that to happen. You know, idiots like Maxine Waters, Barbara Lee, Nancy Pelosi, John Lewis, Al Sharpton, these people do not care about our country as a whole. They only care about personal political power, and the same can be said about the NFL. And who we all know about, or we should know by now, about the shenanigans of Bush and Obama, drone man. You know, so it's imperative, I think, to keep on the high ground, to stay focused on what we the people are about. We're not going to stop. We are not going. We've only remember that song, David. We've only just begun. Well, we've only just begun.
That's right. And they have, just as they've got a football league, there's a political league. And we got two phony teams. And you look at, you know, they talk about football fans or this kind of fan or whatever. It comes from the term fanatic. People get fanatic about these particular teams. They got their own colors. They got their own mascots. And they've got their stars and everything. But the same thing is true in politics. They use that same kind of psychology on us in politics. And so people need to break that phony team loyalty to Democrats and to Republicans. And we can see that they're both the same team, both part of that same DCPL, political league with those speeches that were given yesterday with Obama and with George W. Bush, can't we?
Yes. And, you know, it should be obvious. I believe it is obvious. I believe that more and more people, an increasing amount of people, are actually waking up to the game, up to the game. And this frightens the system. It terrifies them. You know what? But that's their problem. Our job is to keep on waking people up and to reject both of these two sides of the same coin, Democrats and Republicans. They need to get with the people. The people don't need to get with them. They need to get with us.
That's right. And the waking up process, I think, that we're starting to see now with people in terms of the NFL. They're realizing that this is a game that they've been playing at our expense because they get the big subsidies. These billionaires and their millionaire players are going out there and they're hitting up the taxpayers to spend $500 million on stadiums or whatever. I mean, in Minnesota, they had a $1 billion deficit. And what did they do when the Vikings said we want a new stadium? Well, they went another $500 million into debt. So they increased their debt by 50% and gave it to these billionaires. People are waking up to that. People are waking up to the fact they got to pay this stuff off. Even people who don't go to the game have to pay for this stadium. And the same thing is happening in Washington. Once people realize how they're exploiting us, like the NFL is exploiting us, then it really is game over, isn't it, Larry?
That's right. And that's the clock is ticking. And it's ticking in our favor. That when I say our, I mean black, white, brown, red, and yellow, everyday, ordinary people. It's ticking in our favor. So they're going, the system, all right? The deep state, the power elite, whatever you want to call them, all put together, are going to pull out every stop to try and to derail the people's real struggle, the genuine, everyday, ordinary people, all of my brothers and sisters. And speaking of brothers and sisters, I send my love and strength not only to you, David, but to all of my brothers and sisters at InfoWars. Keep it up. All power to the people.
Well, thank you, Larry. Yeah, we love you, too, here at InfoWars because you break that paradigm. You break those kinds of, they like to divide and conquer people, obviously. And you know when their strategies don't work and people want their own independence, we see them come out with the truncheon and the jackboot, just as we're seeing in Spain. But thank you so much for joining us, Larry Pinkney. Again, you can find him at Black Activist WG. That stands for Writers Guild, blackactivistwg.org. And it's always a pleasure to have Larry Pinkney. Oh, you can also find him on blackcommentator.com. I'm David Knight. Thank you for joining us.